Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for willing hearts here again today. Thank you for men ready to go far for you. Thank you for greatness that abounds in these ones. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, thank you for believers. Thank you for brethren. Thanks for safety. Thanks for security. Thanks for your power. Thanks for your power. Thanks for your power. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your power. For yet your power works amidst us, even as we teach God's word. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, we stop at the fact that Jesus is not ashamed of man, right? So we replicate the same in our identification with our fellow believers. Because Jesus is not ashamed of man, so we replicate the same in our identification with fellow believers. So that is quoting Genesis 2, verse what? Genesis 2, verse what? 22 to 25. So we discussed that this is not talking about honeymoon. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman. Why? Because she is brought out of man. Amen, amen. Okay, and the summary is, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. We saw from Ephesians chapter 5, the same thing Paul re-quoted, and he put it in the proper light. He said from verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, quoting Genesis, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and where? The church. So back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. So the rib which the Lord had taken from man, made he a woman. The man went to a deep sleep. Then there, out of the deep sleep of man, came out the woman. Same way, out of the death of Christ, he raised up many sons unto glory. That is Hebrews 2, right? So, and based on that, the summary is, now therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. God left all and he came to man. The man and the woman, they are naked and not ashamed. And we saw that is talking about that unity, fraternity, oneness of Christ and the church. Amen. Okay, we have a fairly long way to go today. So that is Genesis 2. Let's now proceed again to Genesis 3. So Genesis 3 will now be what we call the journey of sin. The journey of sin. Genesis 2, I can tell you, like, Genesis 2 talks more of the intention of God. This is the intention of God. Look at everything in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, we saw from the beginning, that was from verse 1, it said, thus were the heavens and the earth made, and see, how did they put it? Genesis 2 from verse 1 said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works. Seventh day, he rested. The resurrection of Christ. So you see progressively, and verse 9 talks about the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16 He talks about the preaching of the gospel. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you don't eat. You can freely eat, liberty. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. When you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So we saw the preaching of the gospel, and progressively, and later, we now saw the fact that out of the death of Christ, we came out. So, just very awesome. That is clear that from Christ, the believer will come out. But Genesis 3, Moses was now writing about sin. So, I think the people that actually divided this chapter, they almost got it right this time. Like, Genesis 2 was on his own. Genesis 3 was now, okay, let me talk about another story in Christ. Which story? Now, Genesis 2 is like a positive story. Genesis 3 will be a negative story in Christ. A negative illustration in Christ. I got the word story from Pastor Nainka. That's why I love using it. Like a negative illustration in Christ. In Christ, in the same Christ, in the same Christos. But now, negative. Something is about to happen. So, that means, no, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. So, that means, that's part 15 or so. We get there soon. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, and God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God has said, shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Sorry, lest you die. The serpent now said, okay, you will not surely die, for God know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, the key thing there is a counterfeiting to the word of God. A counterfeit. God said, if you eat thereof, you will surely die. Right? The serpent said, don't worry, you will not surely die. You will not die like that. God's word says, you will surely die. So, there was a contrary information. So, and of course, before that, the first thing we saw clearly is that there will be less of listening to God. God was not there. Somehow, there was a time that looks like God was not present. There will be less of listening to God's word. So, there will now be reasoning. Everything you saw in Genesis 2 there, it happened. Genesis 3 there, it happened in the mind. So there will be a reasoning based on a contrary information, a mental analysis based on a contrary information. Satan supplied the contrary information. Man now reasoned in line. Now start saying, as God said, just like Facebook and Wikipedia, curiosity. Now start searching. Curiosity. So there will then be a reasoning in line with Satan. A reasoning in line with Satan. Now, observe this. Although Satan has an influence on what happened, but observe that when the lady, if we eat, Satan was not there, right? When Adam will eat, Satan is not there. So influence may come to you, but it's still your duty to either accept or reject. The serpent was not there when they were eating the fruit. So Satan supplied contrary information, then the woman start thinking to reflect until sin came. That means every man has the power to stop the journey of sin, that motion of sin, that progression of sin. Every man has the power, has a duty, has the right. You can stop it. You can stop it. You don't have to end it. You can start it, but not end it. Every man has that right to stop the journey of sin, to stop that progression of sin. Every man has that right. Has that right. Every man. Mr. Christy, welcome. Every man has that right. Then, next thing, following sin, we now have judgment, condemnation, death. Following sin immediately, closely following sin is death, condemnation. It was instantaneous. It was instantaneous. If you remember how we define these things then, sin is, I don't want it. Death will be what? You don't have it. What is judgment? You will not get it. We come to judgment soon. So, following sin will now be condemnation. Death. And following death is now an appeal of God. An appeal of God. God now came appealing. Please focus. God now came appealing. God clothed them with coats of skin. With coats of skin. His love, his sacrifice to bring man back. Following condemnation, that was not the end. There's still a way. Just like Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. You should know that. Or from verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sins be upon us, and we pine away, and we rot away and will be consumed. That's meaning the Hebrew. We'll be corrupted and we pine away. Okay, that means and we are being destroyed in them. How should we then live? See that question? He said, since we have sinned and we are being consumed away, condemnation has come. How should we then live? Let's read verse 11. 1, 2, go. Rejoice. Hold on, rejoice. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Are you there now? Awesome. Verse 11, want to go help me? Yes. Say unto, as I live, said the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Hallelujah. See that? So he's saying, okay, the man is saying, I am dead. I am condemned. I am not useful. I am rotting away. I am being consumed in my own ways, in my own iniquity. And God said, why do you want to die? I have no pleasure in your death. There is still a way out. So despite what happened to what, so he was using Adam to tell us that although a man rejects the gospel, that's not yet the end. That's not yet the end. God is still appealing. God still keeps appealing through preachers. God still keeps appealing through preachers. So following death is an appeal. It's an appeal. But guess what? After sin, did things remain the same? No. When you see all those curses that you saw, that is written like curses, that's to tell you that some actions, some event will follow sin. Some series of events, it will follow sin. Sin will not just appear in a vacuum. Some events will follow sin, which we depict condemnation. We saw that earlier, Ephesians 2. Some events will definitely follow sin. Ephesians 2, you see it from verse 1 to 3. You at Equikin, who are dead in your trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You see that? Can you see that? Fulfilling. That word fulfilling means you are acting it rightly. You are engaged in it. It's like a prolonged action, executing. Like you are seeing it as proper. This is just me. This is me fulfilling normal thing. So this is saying like this is normal here. This is just normal. This is normality. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the cravings. That's telling me the cravings, the pleasure, the inclination of the flesh and of the mind. Our by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, so even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. So what are we saying? Condemnation can be sin. Condemnation can be sin. It can be sin. It will not be mystical. It will not be what you say, I don't know if this one, you will know. You will know. What are the three ways we discussed the other day? How you know and unbelief, how you can best know. That means how you can best know and someone that has rejected the gospel. Yes, remember? Somebody should speak, please. Yes. Okay, someone that neglects the gathering of what? Believers. Someone that refuses to associate. Yes? Number two? Confession? Okay, a straight confession in rejecting and negating the word. No, yes? Number three? Idolatry. Uncontrolled what? Sinful habit and passion, uncontrolled, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So you can, and I said, anytime you see these three presence in anybody, you can easily say, sir, you really need Jesus urgently. Not just you need Jesus, your own is urgent because you are dead, and that is what dead men do. So, but Moses. How did Moses describe death there? He was saying, okay, woman, out, you will give back in pain. Man, you will, out of the sweat, you will walk. Because stuff like that. So all he's saying is that death is visible. That's the point. That spiritual is visible. You will see it in actions. In the actions of men. Very visible. In their words, by their fruits. Now, Genesis 3, now 21. Death is reigning. And to us today, what is death? Man without the Spirit of God. Man without the Spirit of God. That's death. See Genesis 3 down 21. Genesis 3, 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God made coat of skin and he clothed them. So, That knocks off all those ideas that God is angry, that God cursed man. He will not just finish cursing man and he is now making coats to cover them up. No, no. He clothed them. So he's saying, yes, this is what you have done. That's when he said, Adam, what has you done? This is the consequence. That is when Moses is using all those curses to describe. Then he said, but my action right now is to bring you back. This is what you have done. This is the consequence. But my action is to bring you back. I am here to bring you back. So God was in the scene for reconciliation. Katalaso. God was in the scene for reconciliation. For reconciliation. So I asked earlier too, how did Moses know? How did Moses know that is what God does? He saw ahead of time what Christ did to those who rejected him. What Christ did to those who denied him. He saw that ahead of time. He now used that to describe God's action to Adam. He saw Christ ahead of time. Then he understood. And he wrote properly about what happened to Adam. He saw ahead of time that, oh, perhaps Peter denied Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, he gave him a ministry. Oh, the soldiers that are piercing him, he said, Father, forgive them, right? For they know not what they do. In fact, see Cain. See Genesis 4, verse 10. Let's see Cain. It's not only Adam. Let's see Cain. He saw ahead of time. We told you that Moses did not see a vision of God. He saw, like Henry T said, he saw Christ in time. He saw Christ that is yet to come. That's what, because whether before Christ or after Christ, the only how to know God is through Christ. That's all. Whether before or after, the only way to know God is through Christ. So see Genesis 4 verse 10. See how God addressed Cain. This is after Cain has killed Abel. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. See the next word. Verse 11. And now thou art what? Cause. Wow. Hope you know, for Genesis 3, it looks like he's saying, I will curse you. But what is the language used there? You are already what? Cursed. So where did the curse come from? From sin. That's the death, right? You are cursed from the earth, which hath opened up a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, he now said the same thing that was said to it to Adam, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee as strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. We explain this in understanding Genesis. That means the sin of Adam was not the sin of Cain. Adam sinned his own, jejeli, right? Cain sinned his own, jejeli. Adam's judgment is not Cain's judgment. Adam got his own judgment separately. Cain got his own. That means the tilling of the ground of Adam did not affect Cain. It's only when Adam it's only when Adam is trying to curse the ground, that is when the ground will be hard. Are you getting me? But then in Genesis 3, if Cain was there, if Cain picked O, his own ground will be what? Soft. Until Genesis 4, that suddenly the ground of Cain too will now become what? To tell you that judgment is individualistic. There's not one sin that everybody inherited or that everybody is now suffering for today. No, judgment is individualistic. It's not what God slams on everybody. Thank you for getting that. So, again, he didn't say, I will curse you. He said, you are cursed. Meaning, rejecting God's will comes at a cost. C-O-S-T. Rejecting God's word, it will always come at a cost. That's where we end later in the day. Rejecting God's word will come at a cost. It will come at a cost.
There's a cost attached. Okay, verse 13. And Cain said, now see the point. Oh, and Cain said, wow, unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. To show you God's action. What's the next word? And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Wow. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Don't try to analyze too much. Just copy and paste this on God clothed Adam with coat of skin. He clothed him. So to Cain, to the sinner, what did God do to him? He put a mark that you will not be destroyed. What's that? An appeal. Praise God. From here, can we almost say that Cain asked for repentance? Can we almost say that Cain, because Adam, we didn't see Adam said anything, right? Huh? He just walked out, left, and he left. But Cain, can we almost say that? So, well, but why we cannot really affirm that strongly is because the epistles did not use him as a good example. Are you with me? So, and also, all we just see him pleading for here is that, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. So, but God's action is that what? A mark upon you. That's still the appeal of God. So, even the man in sin, God loves. God answers his prayer. Oh, it's better that way. God answers his prayer. To show what? To show his love, awaiting repentance. That's in Romans 2 verse 4 that we read earlier. Even the man in sin, God loves, God shows his love, God answers his prayer. If he shouts Jesus in the bus that is about to have accident, God delivers him, God provides him for him. Awaiting what? Repentance. Repentance. Awaiting repentance. Awaiting repentance. So, who does this? That is Christ. That's Christ. That's an experience in Christ. Moses was writing about an experience in Christ. He was rejected, yet he healed them. Even those who came to arrest him. Let me ask you this question. Why, I think I've asked it before. Why was there no physical consequences of sin to Adam and to Cain? There was no enforcer. Are you with me? Who's an enforcer? Someone like a Jew that will now make you accountable for what you have done wrongly. Are you with me? Uh-huh. So that's why it looks like everything just continue. That's why it looks like Adam sinned, yet he lived how long? 930 years. Because the bros are not around. The first time we really had a physical, don't eat anything yet. The first time we had, but if you start eating now, what will we now do by, let me not mention the time. Let some people's hearts will jump, pop, it will just shake, pop, come back. Relax, no. So, what was I saying? So, the first clear-cut physical judgment on sinners came with Noah. Yeah, it came with Noah. And that was after 120 years. 120 years of begging you every day. 120 years. Wow. I love to see a preacher that can have such patience today. 120. Now let's start from 20. Try 20 years on somebody. Be begging the person. Please, believe the gospel. Please, get serious.
with God. Noah spent 120 years. Oh, yes, how long is your own? 2 days. 120 hours. Amen, amen. Thank you. So, let's progress. See Genesis 3. Long suffering. That's God's long suffering. That's God's long suffering. They sinned, and yet, that is in the time of Moses, they sinned, and Moses kept doing his best to push away the consequence. Until Moses gave up. Just write this down. God's long suffering is part of the sufferings of Christ. God's long suffering is part of the sufferings of Christ. We see that later when we look a bit into Romans 9 again. God's long suffering is part of the sufferings of Christ. So God willing to make his wrath no end, to make wrath no end. Get to that later. Genesis 3:22. Endured. Now, pay attention to this one. I've seen plenty of people try to cover up this, try to say this somehow, try to say, well, it's not like that. Let's read it. What's there? Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, he garden cherubims, a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Well, first thing you must know that when you are hearing of Eden, Eden was a physical place then. I mean, a place that everybody knew. Just like, don't forget when this thing is written. It was written like more than 2,000 years after. Just like, let's say you are here now. You know you live in Cuba, right? Yeah, so let's imagine, Paracletos, before he sinned, he was staying in Aso Villa, right? He was staying in Aso Villa. So I use what they knew. So use that, I will use Aso Villa figuratively. Aso Villa was his house. But later, when he offended the president, they pursued him from Aso Villa to where? You didn't even like him. You are so quick. You have a ready answer. So Eden was not a mystic somewhere. Some people say, Eden, he's hanging somewhere between heaven and earth. That the geographical location is very that some people have even said that it's still somewhere today around the Middle East. You'll be looking for nonsense there. So it was just it was like a good place, very flourishing, plenty. I mean, in their time. So he just used that to describe this, to describe the event in Eden. So clearly, so he now said God drove out the man. Of course, explanation for that series. But what happened here? Don't forget, God first clothed him. There, but 22 is telling you there will be a day that repentance will no more be available. There will be a day that repentance will no more be possible. There will be a day that repentance will no more be possible. There will be a day that repentance will no more be possible. A day will come that the state of the sinner, the condemnation will become permanent. So that's a checkmate on all those doctrines of universalism. All those doctrines of one day, God will just go to hell, say, all of you, I know you have suffered enough. Yeah, let's go. Have you seen my power now? Let's go. Follow me. See them swag. Yeah, else follow me like that. Let me show you my love. I better go. John 3. Judgment is part of the things that God wants men of through Christ. Judgment is one of those things. Judgment is one of those things that we are being warned of. Even in Christ, even those of us in Christ, we are still warned. Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. We persuade men. Knowing what befalls an unserious Christian, we run the race before us. See John 3, verse 18. Are you there? So there is actually judgment in Christ. John 3, 18. Want to go? Yes? Morogo. Wait, oh, Finyin. Finyin is not there. Not Finyin. Finyin. That's how Pastor Joy calls that. Finyin. I'm walking with a straw leg. Okay. Are you there? Okay, so John 3, 18. Want to go, please? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were. Go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 2. There is judgment in Christ. And what? How do I describe the final judgment? You will not get it. Maybe you say you don't want it. Don't worry, you won't have it. You don't have it, then you will not get it. That's it. Daniel 12, verse 2. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to, are you there? To shame and everlasting contempt. That's not something you to look forward to. Imagine a shame that is everlasting. Imagine a contempt that is everlasting. Again, see, I'm not an atheist. That's the point. It's there. That's my fear. The fear is that it's written. Why not let's, sorry to say, I don't know to say this as a preacher, but I think I heard it from Pastor Nanga too. He said, why not let's obey God's word and later find out that it's not true than to disobey it and find out later that it's true. You know, one is terrible. So one is saying that eternity will judge your action of this mortality, how long you are spending here, that it will be judged for eternity. So clearly, hopefully you are just is risky. It's just you are just playing a very expensive, that's just like you use your family to play bet. And what is that match again that they beat Barcelona like anything? You people. Yes. Huh? Yes. And you have used your wife to bet and your children. You have to bet that, don't worry. Bah, oh, sure, for mercy. So that's what happens. When God's appeal comes to you and you just think, don't worry, it's just his life, Jerry, let's forget it. You will now find out at the end of the day that, it's just too expensive. It's too much of a joke. Don't joke with such. Of course, to you, God's word is true. But, he said, it's better to just to do what you ought to do. At least God has not said you should not eat. He has not said you should not marry. He has not said you should not work. He just said, serve me, please me, do my work, do my will, right? It's okay. Than to leave his will, do every other thing, and later find out that there's a what? Consequence attached. Hallelujah. See that? So, again, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's written. So don't paint a loving God
Don't paint a loving God that is not in the Bible. The love is there. What is the love? The death of Christ is appealing to man. He's saying, turn you back, turn. You say, why will you die? Ezekiel 3, verse 11, right? So, and see verse 3. And they that be wise. Wow. Are you with me? See how he described the people in everlasting life. And they that be wise shall shine. Are you see there? Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I believe God's word.
I believe God's word.
That's the point. My own fear is it is written. That's all. And like I love to tell you, especially my minister, say, how do we hear God and pretend that it's a film trick? No, it's just funny that's because you, if it's God, it's not even a dream that if what you are reading now is what God told you in a dream that talk by ensure you win souls. Yes, sir. What can I simply do? Just control, delete. Don't worry, I didn't hear. No evidence. But it is written. Hallelujah. Glory. So back to John 3. So don't paint a loving God that, oh, in your presence, everything goes. There's so much grace in the house. Oh, come on. There's grace. See, there's grace. Yeah. See, oh, every day you are just, your song is, oh, your grace has found me just as I am. Oh, come on. Empty and, you came, last week you came empty handed. This week you didn't come with any soul. You see, came out. Next week, is he coming? Say, oh, I have no power of my own. Oh, you all come again, sing. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet. That's oh my God, that's how rich. Like me, it's okay, like you. I was, even this morning, I was still lost. But right now, as I enter the service, oh, I'm found again. Amen. Amen. Oh God, thank you for your spirit. And he said, oh, and pastor said, yeah, you have the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. Oh, wow. Hey, pastor, that's after service. He said, pastor, you are so much you are so much of a blessing to me. I love you, pastor. So I just feel refreshed again. And she got home. What does she turn on? Big Brother Ninja. And that's the end again. Next week, renew again unto repentance. Hebrews 6, out of context. Amen, amen. So that's not you. That's not you. That's not you. John 3:36. Let's read. He that believeth on the Son at everlasting life. And he that believeth not his son, what will not happen? Shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Simple. What do we call the wrath of God? You will not get it. How does God say you will not get it? The decision faculty of man becomes removed. That's mortality. When that's the tool with which man makes decision. That's the body, the human body. We discuss that sometimes ago, right? It's when the body, man is body, soul, and spirit, right? Finny? Not finny. When the body leaves the spirit, the mind is unable to attain a new state. Something like that. I will make that, say that clearer in our Jesus. Understanding Genesis. So this one, I'm just focusing on Bible interpretation. So don't interpret, God will say God drove him out. That is judgment. That is saying, assuming Adam never repented. There is judgment. Thank you. See,
Hebrews 12, 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, Hebrews 12. That is saying like, yeah, if Adam never repented, this is it, this is it. I don't want it. Okay, you don't have it. But God kept appealing, and you reject his appeal. One day, there is always, you will not get it. That is what the flood of now depicts, right? That, okay, after 120 years, don't worry, don't worry, you will not get it. Thank you. Hebrews 12, 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to that blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Read verse 25. Want to go? Yes. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on us, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from him. Is that not Bible? It's Bible. That is not anti-internal salvation. That's consequence of rejecting it. So you have friends, families, colleagues, past bulls that you are not sure they believe because you are pampering them, collecting their money.
That is what you need to sing that you go see danger, danger. Wow. Hey, Jesus. Oh, Jude. How do you know it? You that I thought it was word alone. Oh. When you are in the world, when you are carrying the staff of righteousness, you cannot. That picture, even in heaven, we see share it. So Jesus, come and see. See your son. Where do you get those beers? No, that's why you don't have beers in real life now. Because you have gotten it in drama. So now in real life, you didn't come. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Thank you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Hebrews 10, 26. The first, just to show you that it's not those universalism, oh, God is so much love, there's so much love, don't worry. How can love see you in hell? Ah, love will see you burn. That's the point. It's your choice. That's love. Love is your choice. I was telling somebody one day, I said, okay, you know, you should have known. At least, if somebody picks a gun, you know, God is law, right? He wants to shoot a man. What should love do? God should just take the bullet, just divert it. Boom. No, that's what love will do. But your action is you want to kill. Love allows you to have your way. Your action, you want to crucify Jesus. Love allows you. Amen? So if love can allow you to sin, why shouldn't love allow you to die? Hello? If our love allows sin, why will love deny death? And sin is man's passion, man's pleasure, man's desire. I've used some very serious example for some friends before. That, oh, you know this thing you are saying now, okay. You are saying God cannot do. I say, okay. Will you prefer that? Okay, you like nice club, Abby. Okay, as you enter your car, anytime you just enter your car, you want to start car, that you want to go to night club, pa, car will not start. So that's God's power. Preventing you from going to sin. Say, will you? And I say, will you be happy if God is doing that to you every day?
Ah, I said, no, now.
Hey, the same way, when it's time to die, he will allow you to die. That's the point. Thank you. Let's progress. So, Hebrews 10, 26. If we sin, no, see 25. Read 25 first. Yes? Not forsaking the. Now 26, for if we were sin willfully. So why is it connecting it? Remember, I told you one of the three things I told you, right? So it's not saying this thing is not saying that anybody that doesn't come to church is sinning willfully. That's not what he's saying. He's saying not gathering with the saints, what is a symptom of a man that is rejecting. Are you with me? He's not saying any saints that does not come to church is sinning. That's not the point. What is he saying? One of the symptoms of unbelief, one of the ways you know unbelief is when you refuse to gather with the saints. So, now say, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation. The fear is figurative. We see that in Thessalonians soon. We shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. 29, slowly want to go. Of how much more sour punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy of who are trodden under the foot, Son of God, figuratively, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherein it was sanctified, that sanctifies an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Wow. So it's not saying it's already sanctified there. We have explained that years ago. It's saying the blood that sanctifies, you say it's not holy. The blood with which Jesus would have sanctified you, you call it an holy. Say, and you don't despise that sin against the Holy Ghost unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 4, verse 1. It's just good for you to wake up and just tell yourself, no, I believe the gospel. I believe. Go and find that song. What choir can give us a better version? I believe in God the Father. You can give us, you know, I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Bible. Please put Bible there. Put Bible to there. You know, you can believe in God the Son. You don't believe the Bible. You know. Let me define such simple song. You can just wake up every day. Say it to yourself. I believe the Bible. I am not an atheist. This is the constraint. Morogo Kire. You need to give yourself brain. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. I will soon give you guys a break. Because we have a long way to go. Very long. So, no need to worry you now. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. Which is a... Oh, okay. Let's read from verse 4. Yes? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of his kingdom of God. You also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing, God, to recompense to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from thee of the Lord and from the glory. That means their punishment will be the what? From, away from the absence of the presence of God. Maybe when a man rejects the gospel, what is he saying? I don't want what? God's presence. Right? So, not having God's presence after the spirit leaves the body is everlasting destruction. Everlasting. No, those are not words you read and you just say that you just smile. No. You read, you say, ah, mommy, you just call mommy, are you sure you believe the gospel? You just have to call your mother, call your father.
Daddy, Jesus died. He rose again. This is what saves. Rituals don't save. Giving money to church doesn't save. Doing, paying your tithe does not save. This is what saves, though. So we shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You know, apostasy, series 2, we come later to. So, that explains all those eschatology things a bit, which is... should be clear. So, in Christ, is it clear now that there is judgment? Is it clear? Uh-huh. So, and that judgment is also in Christ. So, Mark 16, verse 15. That judgment is in Christ. Why is he in Christ? The judgment is the result of rejecting the Christ. So, under the topic, the Christ, we can have, under it, accepting the Christ. We know what happens. You receive the Holy Ghost. Then, see, under the Christ, and that subtopic, rejecting the Christ, we have consequences to it. Consequences to it. But like I said last time, the only difference is, in the accepting, you have instantaneous what? Security, right? Instantaneous eternal salvation. But when you reject, what does God do? He starts to appeal, to beg, to beg, to beg, so that what you say you don't want, you can ask for it and get it. Or else, if you reject the appeal, then one day, okay, you won't get it. And when is the one day? When the man dies. That's it. Very clear in the Bible. It's not my seeker. My people say, you can sin to, then you not get to one day. God will just say, my God, your cup is full. Oh, like a Monzion film. A guy now wants to repent. Say, God say, it's too late. You have rejected bro Jude. You will see me now. The guy is still alive. What did God say to Paul? God said, you want to repent after you kill Stephen? You are part of them. Think I didn't see you? Repent for what? Reward? No worry. You will see me. I am a man of war. I am consuming fire. I am in the bosque. Amen, amen. He said, I came not for the righteous, I came not for the Pharisees, but I came to set the sinners free. Come down from the sycamore tree. Oh, Zacchaeus. You don't know song in those days. What do you listen to? Sycamore tree. Come down. Who shot here? Nobody. Sycamore tree. So salvation is coming unto you. Amen. But short people. He said, you come down from the sycamore tree. Okay, so Mark 16, before you have some break. Mark 16, verse 15. Are you there? Open. There's judgment in Christ. And we don't neglect that. Don't neglect that. Mark 16, 15. 1, 2, go. Yes, sir. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, is saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's Bible. He that believeth not is damned. Is damned. So, in the judgment of sin, man, anyone that rejects the gospel, he gets judged. In God's judgment for sin, because sin has been caused already. Sin has been caused. It's not man that was caused. Sin, which is rejecting the gospel, has been caused.
in Christ has been, believing the gospel has been blessed, rejecting him has been cursed. Therefore, when a man rejects the gospel, you are identifying with the curse on sin. You are identifying. It's identification. So Moses will be using Christ, the event in Christ, to explain all this many activity. He will use the word of Christ that is to come to explain man's activity. And in this case, Adam's activity. Adam and Cain. He used the experience in Christ. Oh, this is what happens to the man that rejects. God appeals. And if he rejects, well, that's it. And hope you know, Jesus spoke exactly the same way. He got to a time, he starts depicting the same thing. He said, woe to, that's Matthew 23. See the Matthew 23, Luke around, is it around 19. Starting, woe to these cities. See, because if the mighty work has been done in Tyre and Sidon has been done in you, they will have repented with sackcloth. But henceforth you will not see me until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Praise God. So what does this mean to us? There must be an urgency with which we preach the gospel. When we call you on Monday that let's go and preach, let's go and reach out. Don't say no. There must be an urgency with which we present the message of Christ. There must be an eagerness to it. There must be a ready heart. They that turn men into righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Okay, I give you 10 minutes and we shall continue.